Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The very terms that Paul's using, terms that are speaking of exerting himself, he's going to exert himself. And this is something that I think maybe we have forgotten here in our comfortable version of Christianity in the West. We've forgotten that it takes exertion. It takes effort.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Philippians. Join us as Pastor Brian concludes his teaching on Philippians chapter 3, verses 11 through 16, in a message titled, Pressing Toward the Goal. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
As you're tuning in today, as you're listening, and I would imagine that maybe there are a few people that would say, well, no, I'm fine. I've arrived. I am perfected, but we know that that's actually delusional. But for those who are without delusion, who recognize we haven't been perfected, we still need to keep growing. So what's the process? And Paul, he then goes on and he shares with us the process. And so he says in verse 13, he says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but he says, one thing I do. One thing I do, or as the New English Translation puts it, I am single-minded. And that's probably a better way to understand it. Paul is singly focused on this. His goal is to do this. His goal is to go deeper with Christ. And he expresses it with, first of all, forgetting the things that are behind. Secondly, reaching forward to the things that are ahead. And thirdly, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I'm single-minded. This is my desire. This is what Christ has apprehended me for, and this is how I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there by, first of all, forgetting the things that are behind. This is such the statement in and of itself is so powerful, because the statement tells us that this is a reality for the Christian. This is a reality for those who trust God. We, through the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can actually leave the past behind us. Now, you know, so many people are bound up because of their past sins and failures. So many people are stuck. So many people cannot move forward because they can't leave the past behind them. They have no ability to do it. They don't realize that there's a God who can wipe away the past. They don't realize that there is a God who can forgive the past. They don't realize that there's a God who can heal from the past. But for the Christian, that is the reality. We can forget the things that are behind. Years ago, I was living in Britain, and I had a friend who attended the church I was pastoring there. He was a clinical psychologist, had a couple of earned PhDs. He invited me over one night. He wanted to sit down and talk and have some food together. I went to his flat. And as we sat there talking, he opened the Bible to this very verse. And he read it. He said, forgetting the things that are behind. And he looked at me and he said, is that really true? Can we forget the things that are behind? And I said, well, it is true. This is God's word. And this is what he says. And he says, you know, I'm a psychologist. I knew that. He says, you know, I'm a psychologist. He says, our whole approach to dealing with people is all rooted in the fact that they can't really get beyond their past, or they got to just somehow keep striving and trying to do it, but it's probably impossible. And we both then rejoiced in the reality that the gospel gives us an opportunity and a power that is not found anywhere else, that we can forget the things that are behind. We can forget them because God's forgotten them. We can forget them because God's forgiven them. And we don't have to be bound by that. And so this is where Paul starts. He says, forgetting the things that are behind. And I want to say that that's both bad things and good. Now, obviously, we want to forget the bad things. And we want to forget the bad things because if I dwell on my past sins and failures, those things will prevent me from moving forward. But the good can also prevent me from moving forward. How is that? Well, the good can prevent me from moving forward because if I dwell on my past successes, I can become complacent and satisfied with less than all God has for me. So you see, even the good things in the past, we can't rest on those things. We can't dwell on those things. I mean, if anybody could have said, you know, I've done so much for the kingdom. I've done so much for Christ. I've preached the gospel. I've suffered for the gospel. He's writing this letter from, I'm imprisoned for the gospel. If anybody could have said, you know, I've done enough and I'm just going to rest now and just take it easy and live on my past successes. If anybody could have done it, Paul could have done it. But Paul says, I don't do that. You see, he knew that there was the human tendency toward complacency. And so he said, whether it's your failures or your successes, forget the things that are behind. Now, I'm not saying that we don't look back at our, you know, successes in the Lord and draw inspiration from that, but don't settle on the past. Don't settle that, well, because years ago I did this for God or I did that for God or I was so close to God that it doesn't matter now. No, it matters now. And so forgetting the things that are behind. And then secondly, Paul says, reaching forward to those things that are ahead. There's more God wants to do in you and there's more that God wants to do through you. And even Paul saw that about himself. Reaching forward to the things that are ahead. Paul knew that there was more. He knew that there was more service for God. There were more things for him to do for the kingdom. But he also, as I've already said, he knew there was more that Christ needed to do in him. He knew that his character still had flaws. He knew that in areas he still wasn't like Christ. And so what's he going to do? He's going to keep reaching. He's going to keep just moving forward and saying, Lord, I'm not going to let my past failures or my successes hold me back. I'm going to keep moving forward with you. I'm going to keep reaching. I think Paul was of the mindset that he knew that God rewarded those who seek him. And Paul would essentially say, I'm going to seek the Lord. I know that those things that I'm reaching for, I know that he's going to help me to attain those things. So Paul is reaching. Just the word itself, reaching, it kind of gives us a bit of a word picture that he's stretching himself. That's a good way to think of it. You know, sometimes we use that term, right? You know, sometimes I will even say that about myself, man, I need to be stretched. I've become so comfortable or so complacent. I need to be stretched. And that's what we're talking about. Paul's reaching. I'm going to stretch myself beyond. I'm not going to just settle into this complacency. No, I'm going to reach further, reaching further, believing that God has more. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You see, that's what we are to believe, that no, God has more. At this stage in my life, I believe God has more. I believe he has more for me as a person he's called into gospel ministry. I also believe he has more for me as a person. He wants to make me more like Jesus. I was just talking to Jordan, our executive pastor, and I was telling him how, you know, even at this stage in life, and even after all of these years in ministry, this season that we are currently in, this is a stretching season. I'm having to do things that I don't feel comfortable with. Areas that I would just as soon not even bother with, I feel like the Lord's saying, step into it, just engage it. Don't worry about your discomfort. I'm going to stretch you. And that, you know, over my lifetime, I can look at many times where the Lord's called me to step up to a challenge because he basically said, I want to stretch you. I want to take you further than you think you can go. And so that's what Paul is doing. He's reaching, but then he goes a step further and he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. So the very terms that Paul's using, he's using terms that are speaking of exerting himself. He's going to exert himself. And this is something that I think maybe we have forgotten a little bit about here in our comfortable version of Christianity in the West. We've forgotten that it takes exertion. It takes effort. You know, sometimes we're so afraid of falling into legalism, or we're so afraid of not operating in the grace of God. We think that, well, you know, I don't want to put forth too much effort. That might end up being a work. But we have to remember that grace is not opposed to effort. It is opposed to earning. So it's not opposed to effort. Dallas Willard said this. Grace is not opposed to effort. Grace actually empowers us to put forth effort. Grace is just simply opposed to earning. Paul's already addressed that. I tried to earn my way into God's favor. I realized that was fruitless. And so I've counted all of that loss. So Paul's talking about putting forth effort here. I press toward the goal for the prize. This is a beautiful picture of Christ up ahead of us and above us, and actually bidding us to come further, to step up higher, to press forward, to reach him. And yet here's the great truth behind it all. We do not do that through our own strength. So think about Jesus. Think, just put yourself at, say Jesus is up further. He's up the path ahead of you, but also the elevation is quite steep. And there's Jesus, and he's bidding us to come to him. He's further and he's higher. He's above us and he's bidding us to come. So of course, we have to take the step. We have to exert the effort. But the good news of the gospel is that he, by his Spirit, is present in us to strengthen us to take the step forward. He, by his Spirit, is alongside of us to help us and to pull us forward to himself. You see, that's the beauty of being a Christian. It's not simply that there's this ideal that somehow we are to try to attain, but we can never ultimately make it. There is an ideal, and the ideal is the life of Christ, but the Christ himself comes and indwells us and gives us his power to become like him. And this is really the difference between religion, and this is the difference between the relationship that we have with God through Christ. And so we must press toward the goal. We must press toward the goal. And this is a picture of spiritual discipline. And what Paul is saying is that he pushed himself to keep going deeper and deeper with Jesus. And we must do that also. He wanted to attain to the life out from among the dead. He wanted to live as much as possible with Christ-likeness. So when he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call, that's it. The goal was to be with Christ and like Christ. You know, recently I listened to a conversation with a man named Rahil Patel. He was formerly a Hindu priest. And he wrote a book called A Hindu Priest Encounters Jesus Christ. And this was one of the most fascinating conversations I have ever heard, I have to admit. And a fantastic testimony from this Indian man. I listened to it on the Undeceptions podcast with John Dixon, a theologian from Australia. But in this conversation, There were so many amazing things about this conversation. But at one point, actually toward the end, John Dixon asked Rahil about the differences between Hinduism and Christianity. And he wanted him to kind of narrow it down to just the, kind of the essence. You know, what is the difference? And he said a number of things, but one of the things he said that was interesting is he said discipline. Now, he was born in England and grew up in the London area. But then at the age of 16, he went to India. And for 6 years, he trained to become a Hindu priest. And even in his life in London, he described the daily routine of the family as Hindus and the worship and all of that. And it was quite convicting, really, how the devotedness of this family to these idols, these false gods. But their devotion, it really put to shame the devotion of many Christians. So, but as he's talking about this, he says, you know, discipline was one of the things that he saw as a difference. And then he said this, and I'm sort of paraphrasing, but he said, discipline seems to be lacking in much of Western Christianity. He said, people think of discipline as punishment. And then he says, discipline can come out of religion's rigorous efforts to please God. Now, that was his experience as a Hindu. He went through all of these rigorous processes of fasting and deprivation and, you know, living in extreme conditions and all of this, at which, you know, looks somewhat like a punishment. And it was through all of this that was motivated by his, or driven by his Hindu religion. He said people oftentimes see discipline in that way. But then he said something that to me was so profound. He said, but discipline can also come out of romance. And then he went on and he said, Christian discipline stems from encountering the tangible, available presence of God through Christ, a presence that satisfies every part of your being and longing to know that presence more and more. So he has a whole nother take on discipline. And he says discipline can come out of romance. And he briefly alludes to think of the discipline that you exercise in the early days of love. Think of how disciplined you were to do all that you could to be with that loved one and to seek to please that loved one. And I know for myself that it was a great illustration. I could think of many things that I did then in my zeal, in my new love for Cheryl that unfortunately I don't do them today. But I could even think of some of the zeal and passion and discipline I had in the early days of my Christian life that maybe I am not so disciplined about today as well. But you see, discipline is not bad. And that's what Paul is talking about, if it's motivated by the right thing, and the right thing is love. It's love for Christ because of the love of Christ. So discipline in the Christian life is not an effort to obtain God's favor, but a loving response to the favor we've been freely given in Christ, who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You see, that's why Paul said, I press, I discipline myself. I am going to put myself out. I'm going to stretch myself because I love Christ. And I love Christ because of his immense love for me. And so, my friends, this is, I think, a word for us today. Because I think that Rahil is right about this. I think in the Western church, we are part of the Western church, right? We are the Western world here in the United States and in Europe and, you know, Canada, Australia, you know, we're all part of this cultural thing known as the West. And what's happened? I think that there has been a complacency that has set in. And I believe, and I think others would testify that they believe the same thing, that God is using this present moment to wake us up out of our complacency and to get us to be serious once again about seeking Christ and pressing toward the goal and longing to be transformed into his image, to be more like Jesus. You see, that's really the goal. And as I said earlier, as much as serving the Lord is a wonderful thing, and that is part of it, but that's not all of it. I have to admit, I know plenty of people who have served the Lord, and yet their character is so far from Christ-likeness, and that is unacceptable. God wants to change us into being more like Jesus, and if that's going to happen, we have to exert some discipline. And so the Lord has given us this opportunity to just begin to seek him in fresh new ways. And I want to encourage that, because that's what the Christian life is ultimately about. It's ultimately about knowing Christ, knowing him deeply and intimately, and being made more like him. And when we come through this season, how wonderful and powerful it will be to see the work that God has done in the lives of many. And as we gather once again, we gather with a fresh work of the Spirit in our lives and a fresh likeness to Jesus Christ. And that fresh likeness to Jesus Christ is likely to become a very attractive thing. You know, it's interesting, the man that I'm referring to, the Indian man, he said that at one period in his journey, he spoke to his guru, and he mentioned that he said the Christians had some good things to offer, Christianity did. And the guru's response was, yes, they're very good at administration and things like that, but their character is very unappealing. And you think, wow, that kind of says it all right there. But you could never say that about Christ. You would say that, oh, the character of Christ is the most appealing of characters. Well, that's what he is wanting to make us into. But that's not going to happen unless we do what Paul said, unless we forget the things that are behind, unless we reach for the things that are ahead, unless we press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God. And remember, we do that not to earn God's favor. We do that because we already have his favor, because he favors us. And so Paul, finally, he goes on, and in the concluding portion here, he basically in verses 16 and 15 and 16, he says, therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. This is the mindset of the mature, he says. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So God leaves Paul leaves those who still need convincing. He leaves them with the Lord. And then he says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So in other words, wherever you're at, this is the rule. And wherever you're at today, adopt this. That's what Paul's saying. Adopt it right now today. Have this same mind, and this will move you forward into the experiencing of the upward call of God in Christ. The presence of Christ and the experience of that presence becoming a greater reality, and the likeness of Christ becoming more of a reality as well in and through your life.
For the month of September, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. With all the chaos, unrest, and uncertainty in our world, behind it all is the unseen realm where a spiritual battle is being waged. And this spiritual battle not only affects the world collectively, but even our lives individually. This month's book, The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian, will give you an understanding of the battle that is raging behind the scenes. You will understand the enemy who is waging war against you, his tactics, and how you can be equipped to emerge victorious. As people of God, we must be aware of the spiritual battle we're all involved in, the sophisticated ways in which we're constantly being attacked, and the provision for victory we have in Jesus. If you want to be equipped for the spiritual battle we're engaged in, or to be able to help others become equipped, we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443 or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com to order The Powers of Darkness and the People of God by Pastor Brian. And when you give a gift to Back to Basics, we'll send you this book as our way to say thank you. We do appreciate your generous support of this ministry. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Philippians. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.